Blog Talk Radio. I believe that all scripture is given by the inspiration of Elohim and is profitable for doctrine and for reproof and for correction, for instruction in righteousness, according to 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 16. I believe that all holy men must be inspired and directed by the Spirit of Yah, according to 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 20 through 21. I believe that all holy men, I believe there is one Elohim according to Deuteronomy chapter 6 and verse 4. I believe that Yeshua is the manifest Son of Yah according to Luke chapter 1 verse 35. I believe I'm a new covenant child of Yah according to Hebrews chapter 8 and verse 10. I believe I'm of the royal priesthood according to 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 9. I believe I am chosen and directed by Yah according to Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 4. I believe I'm a child of Yah and of the seed of Abraham according to Galatians chapter 3, verse 26 through 29. I can do all things through Mashiach which strengthens me according to Philippians chapter 4 and verse 13. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. It is my whole duty to fear Yah and keep his commandments according to Ecclesiastes chapter 12 and verse 13. Let us give the Most High Elohim a hand clap of praise on today. Hallelujah, Father. We just glorify your answer this, Father. We lift you up. We magnify your name, O Lord. We magnify your name. And we extol thee, Father. We extol thee. We ask that you would be a part of this meeting, Father. In Yeshua HaMashiach's precious name. Amen. Amen. Holy hands raised to the Most High. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, now and forever. Amen and amen. You will read the minutes from last meeting.
Okie dokie. You going to put them up on the screen?
Yeah, I think I ought to do that.
Okay.
There you go.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Our last meeting was August the 27th. No, it wasn't August. It's July 27th, 2023. We started at 7 p.m. and it ended at 9:45. Attendance of the meeting was Brother Miles, Sister Denise, and Sister Mary. The discussion of the meeting was the microgreens. Brother Miles is changing the way he's growing the plants because the growth room is too hot, they are not germinating. He's going to start without light during the day, then use light for only 2 days out of a week for a couple of hours a day. Friday is the last day for the market. It will start again in September. The new market starts Wednesday in August. So the mouse is looking for other markets too. We're going to start applying for other grants and loans. Our next meeting that starts in September will be in the private room. This starts September the 7th, 2023, to discuss making plans to move to the land. The bylaws. Section 12.01.125, contracted guarantor. If a parent has a young adult with a disability living with them, they will need a document stating what should happen to the young child, the young adult, in case of their passing. If they're to stay with the community, or go and live with a family member. If a young adult is able to work, then if they are to live in the community, their parents, they will have to work. Section 12.1, number 5, is tabled until the next meeting. That's it, Brother Miles.
All right. Let me pull up the last file we worked on. Give me a hot second, and then I'll give an update on what's currently happening. I got so many files open right now, it's not even funny. Let's see. more document. Okay, there's the ones we worked on last week. I'll bring them up and I'll share my screen at the appropriate time. All right, so update on the microgreens. The last farmer's market we went to, we had a decent farmer's market for this time of the year. People are still coming and looking, even though that was the last market for that particular market until September. The one in August, which is next week, is the only one in August. And I'll start sending out advertising to the farmer's market email list that I have, letting people know that we'll be there. The microgreens themselves, the formula that we went to for this heat is actually working. The only one that I'm not growing right now with success, and so I didn't grow it for this next market coming up, is the salad mix. The arugula and whatever else is in that is still not germinating, so I wasn't going to waste the seed. But everything else, the sweet peas, the broccoli, the fenugreek, the radish, the wheatgrass, let's see what else. Sweet pea and sunflower. All those are doing fine up under the new formula where I'm leaving the light off and letting them do the first 4 to 5 days totally in the dark, checking on the water. We had we sort of kind of started doing it 2 weeks ago. But then this last grow, I actually went to that full, let me do it in the dark and then turn on the light only a couple of hours, 4 or 5 hours at night when it's the coolest. And so that seems to be working. Everything is germinating that we tried to grow. We got like full germination on the trays, very little seeds not germinating. So the trays look like they're supposed to look, not like they had the mains or something, but it, full of plants, full of microgreens. So the hope is out of this last week's growth, I will take that, what we're not going to eat, and I will turn it into the powder. We got people who are now coming back looking for the powders, so that's a good thing, and they're feeling like it's the way to go. So we'll continue doing that, but we want to continue to also sell the live plant. And as the weather cools down, then I know that the growth, the patterns that we have for the growth will return to normal, and we'll get better crops. So we're also going to be, I've already signed up for more, for a new farmer's market up under the same management. So whereas we were doing like every other Sunday, I think this one is like the first Sunday of the month, the other one will be the second Sunday, and then so forth and so on. I think they rotate. But then the Friday markets will return, a Thursday market. And so I'm also going to be looking at some other fall market from a couple other farmers markets themselves and seeing if, I can't get in. Some of these markets are expensive. Some of them are $400 and $500 every market. If I can't guarantee that I'm going to make that or three or four times that amount at that market, I'm not trying to do that market because then I'm just paying to be there and not generating enough income to to make the difference. Yeah, so these just want, 10%. Actually, for these, for those of us that are doing produce, even though, I've been giving them 10% or $10, depending upon what we've done, it's really a donation. That's what their application says. So, There's no minimum for if you are a farmer, and no maximum. You know, you can just give a donation of whatever you want to give. If I was only making $100, I could tell, hey, I only want to give $1. That's my donation. And they would accept that because it's really a farmer's market. And if you have no farmers, then what kind of farmer's market is it? So I'm looking at that our sales will continue to go up, especially as the snowbirds start returning. They won't return until October. I do know that I have guaranteed customers in October who were on subscription who are returning, and they will automatically restart their I have written some letters for grocery stores or restaurant or chefs, and then some flyers that we'll start handing out at the farmer's market that I am hoping will increase the volume. You know, nobody's come back. I think out of all the markets we've done, I've only had one woman to come back and complain, and that was like 4 or 5 months ago. One of the first markets I did, she came back and she complained that they didn't last long enough for her in a refrigerator. I'm like, you know, what can I say to you? Because people are coming back and saying that they're lasting them 2 and 3, you know, about 15 days in their refrigerator, and that they are still taste the same. Now, the nutrient value, that's going to be completely different. And so, you know, I try to talk them out of trying to make them last a whole long time because the benefit of eating microgreens is the nutrient. And once they are harvested, they start to leak the nutrients. And so you end up, you know, you just get a lot of fiber. If you keep them too long, you just get a lot of fiber or they rot. So I try, you know, I tell them how to make them last longer, but I try to discourage them from trying to make them last longer, if that makes sense. There's a very reason that they're buying them. The longer they try to make them last, the less, you know, the less the benefit. Grant.gov is still no change in that. No update on that. We were looking at listening to a show. Anybody heard of Joe Madison? Anybody listen to XM Radio?
No.
Okay. Well, Joe Madison is a black guy. They call him the Black Eagle. I kind of have mixed emotions about him sometimes, how he handles people. But has a national syndicated show on Sirius XM and has a lot of, you know, black listeners. And he's pretty, you know, pretty no-nonsense type of guy. And so the last couple of weeks, he was doing, you know, how the black farmers are being discriminated against and how the black vets are being discriminated against, you know, by the government. I happen to fit in both of those categories. And so, you know, I can testify to both that this government really doesn't care about black veterans. They go through the motions and say they do, but when it really comes down to it, they really don't treat black veterans or black people fair, period. You know, they give you a different rating from the VA that they would, you know, that they would give a white person, give you a lower rating for the same condition. When it comes to black farmers, you know, they're saying he got all these programs out, but you still got Congress repealing those programs. Now, you know, I can't really blame Joe Biden for that. If Congress repeals a program, the president really has no control over that. That is the prejudice Congress doing that. But within, you know, I've been praying on this, and I've been asking the Most High to show me why it is that they are so prejudiced against the black farmers and the black veterans. I know it comes back to them knowing who we are, okay, as a people. I know that that's the truth of the matter, but I wanted to know when and what avenue do I need to attack them from, when I say attack, in writing for these grants. You know, may have to change our whole tactic and sort of whitewash the organization or make it appear that it's whitewashed for them to even give us any money. I don't want to do that. I would much rather go at them from the standpoint of, okay, you've been, this is what you've been doing. It's still a problem. And see if we can get any type of, you know, blessing from the Most High that way. If it's left up to them, I don't think that they will do it. That's my honest feeling right now. But, you know, with Yah, all things are possible. And so petitioning him to move on our behalf and to make it to where they will move in our favor on what we have requested. And even on any other loans or grants that we're going to ask for. Now, the benefit of getting a loan from FNS is this. FNS, which is the FSN, Farm Services something. FSA, Farm Services Agency. If we get a loan through them, then we can get the loan at 1% for 35 years. So 1%, 35 years, is a very low payment. And it's only 1% interest over 35 years, or 1% a year. Versus, you know, on the economy, 5, 6, 7, 8%. That's a big difference. And so, and that's what they have been not wanting to give to black people. They'll do the white farmers all day, every day.
Brother Miles, what's the name of that loan again?
It's not a loan. It's an agency. FSA.
Okay.
And usually you're supposed to be able to go to them when you can't go to like a conventional bank.
Okay.
Because you might not have good credit. You might not have, you know, the required down payment. And so the program, and yeah, I do want to talk about the program where we applied for that loan forgiveness, that loan settlement.
Uh-huh.
I want to talk about that tonight as well. So if you got an email or you received a packet in the mail, don't do anything with it until I tell you what to do with it. Okay?
Okay.
So did you get one, Sister Mary?
I think I got one. I think it's, I can't pronounce it. It's like K-A something. It says there's a document attached to it.
Is that in through mail or through email?
Email.
Take a snapshot of that. Let me see it.
Oh, wow.
Or forward me a copy.
Okay, I can do that.
Yeah, let me see it, make sure it's from the right thing. What about you, Sister Denise?
No, I haven't heard anything.
Okay, so you haven't received an email or any mail?
No.
Okay, because they start sending out emails and they sent out mail to people who had applied for this program that we applied for.
Uh-huh.
And so you should be getting something in the mail. And you should as well, Mary.
Okay.
But, you know, I got an email and then I also got a package in the mail. And the package wasn't complete as far as what they were saying to return.
Right.
And so until we get those documents and are able to make copies so that you know what you need to return and what you need to answer, how you need to answer, then I don't want you guys to return them yet.
Okay, I'm going to send you this right now.
Okay, then I'll look at my email and see what you're sending.
Okay, I just sent it.
And I'm looking for the email that I got from them. It's not from the USDA, it's from a lawyer's office.
So that's what I just sent you?
No, that's what I said, what I received.
Huh.
I'm looking to see. Granted authorization request received. No, this is not what I'm talking about. This is somebody trying to this is somebody trying to get money from you. They're scamming you.
Okay, well I can delete that.
Yeah.
Let me do that now.
Yeah, that you don't want to mess with that one. That is a scam. Let's go to
bye-bye.
Okay, let me see if I can find this one that I received. Yeah. Okay, the one that it would say, mine came out on July the 30th, and it would say USDA loan discrimination claim form, case blocker notification.
No, I don't have that.
Okay, and Sister Denise, if you would check if you have that.
No, I don't have it.
Okay. Also, check in your spam folder.
Spam folder.
Do you have it in your spam folder?
No, I don't have anything yet. I'm still looking.
No.
Okay.
July 30th.
Now, some people got them before then. Ours came in on the 30th. And all it's saying is, as of now, you have not completed the USDA loan discrimination claim form. This claim form is required by the USDA to submit your claim. Please use the blue link below to log into our secure portal and complete the claim form as soon as possible. Everything that's on the site, we didn't go to the site because we were told not to go to it. You're to wait to get the packet in your email. I mean, packet in your mail. Okay, but since you guys don't have that, then whenever you get it, let me know when you get it.
Okay.
And we'll go over what the answers are supposed to be for one of the forms, and then both of you received an email where you had to e-sign the application, right, if I remember correctly?
No. No, I haven't.
Okay.
No.
Did you guys delete it? Did you delete it?
Probably did.
Okay.
Probably did.
And all your deleted items are gone?
Let's see now.
Because if you look in your trash can, if you haven't emptied your trash can, then those deleted items should still be there.
Well, yeah, I emptied it.
Okay, then you may not be able to apply. I don't know yet, because The one was the signing of the form. I don't know if you might get it in, you might get everything by mail. That was
okay.
That should have been in that email, the first one. But may come by mail. Okay. And
okay,
it'll
well,
be
I
probably,
haven't even gotten the email, so maybe I'll get it by mail.
Yeah, you probably will get it by mail too then. But it'll be from a lawyer firm called Wright and Schultz. W-R-I-G-H-T and S-C-H-U-L-T-E.
Okay.
Yeah, it should be in one of those brown or brown envelopes.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Oranges, oranges. Yellow envelope.
Yellow envelope, big envelope.
Right.
Okay.
So when you get it, then just make sure that you don't do anything until you check with me so I can make sure that you got a complete application, a complete, all the forms that are supposed to be in there.
Okay.
Okay.
And then what you're supposed to answer to some of the questions. All right?
All right. Yeah.
Okay. All right, so that's the update on that. Nothing else at the moment. Okay, so let's go ahead and let me bring up the document that we were last working on. And I'm going to go use the bathroom first, and then we'll come back and do this.
No, don't go.
Hey, got to go, or else we're going to need a mop.
Yeah, he's mopping it up.
I ain't touching that one.
Okay, I'm going to leave it alone.
Yeah, because I was going to say something, but I'm not. I'm going to leave it alone. Then you'll be sitting there catching me by hand. All right. So let me go use the bathroom real quick. Let me share my screen. Make this a little bit bigger. And we were in section 12 dot what? 01 or 05?
01, number 5.
Okay. You'll bring up your screen. And let me know if you can see the...
Yes.
Okay. Well... Okay, so that's where we're going to start at. And all right. 015. a young adult that has less than 20 years, that is less than 20 years old, must have a contract guarantee. Did anybody do any thinking about this?
So that means they have to be like 18, 19 or something like that, right?
You're right. We said they must be married. Yeah. Yeah. We're talking about in this case, if they're single, they got to be 20 to apply anyway. So if they're less than 20, then this is what the extenuating circumstances.
Right.
So let's do this. Let's create a bullet. And we're going to say this. Married. Think of any other situation where they might be less than 20 years old and be applying, be wanting.
If they're working and taking care of themselves.
Okay. So we got, if you said if they're working.
And taking care of themselves. Responsible for themselves.
In other words, they didn't come with their parents.
And I didn't know that it, well.
Yeah, that's the only way that I can see that that would work.
Well, they could be working and still staying with their parents.
Yeah, but they still got to be 20 years old. According to our statement one.
Okay. Right, but we number five says, where's number five go?
It's right here.
Okay, okay, it says, a young adult that is less than 20 years of age must have a contract guarantee.
Right. And so we're actually looking for when that would be, when they are, what is, are the exceptions or what are the situations that would warrant them being less than 20 years old, needing to have a residence of their own.
Yeah.
So
I would
maybe,
say
you know, if they're married,
staying
that's one
with their parent, if they're staying with their parent and they're working and you know, the responsible person and they want to try, you know, try out if they can continue to take care of themselves and if they have a little whatever, their parent is there or the guardian is there to help them out.
Okay, that actually breaks rule number one. So,
well, if it's breaking rule number one, then we might not even need rule number five.
Well, we need a rule number five because you could have, you know, a married couple that are if they come and they're 18, 19, 20 years old and they're married already, they're going to need their own place. You gotta talk up.
Or they leave their parents' home to get married. They get married and leave.
Yeah,
their
home. I mean that would still make them married.
Would that make them? Did you say in the question they can still move to parents?
They can move in with their parents,
mm-hmm.
Or you know the they can add to the what, father's house.
Mm-hmm.
They can do that, or they can have their own.
Mm-hmm. So that's only time the 18-year-olds are allowed to be on their own if they're married, or if
yeah, now I would think that would be another issue right there. If their parents leave the community and the child is 18 years old or older and they want to stay, then they would still need their own place. Does that make sense? Mary, that's neat.
Saying, Brother Miles, if the young adult is with living with their parents and working before we get to the community. You see what I'm saying?
If they live,
they want to stretch out on it, and they want to stretch out on their own and get them a place. You know what I'm saying? Then they have their parents to back them up.
Yeah, the rules still say they have to be
20. This one here says less than 20.
Right, but that breaks rule number one. Because these are people who grew up in the community. Yeah, these are people who grew up in the community. Okay, and if they got if they are have to be 20 years old, just because they grew up in the community. And we're telling them they got to be 20 years old before they qualify for a pod. Then if somebody comes and they're living with their parents, they're still living with their parents regardless if they're working or not, they still fall up under rule number one.
Okay.
True. They ain't 20 yet.
Right.
Okay. But still, rule number five is saying less. Then 20.
Right. So rule number five.
20
is
and under.
Yeah. Rule number five is an exception policy. An exception to policy. Because there's going to be appropriate. Or they would come. If you were 20 years old and you came to the community and you're already married, you're not going to be coming with your parents.
Right.
Okay. So then they're less than 20 years old. That we can say, no, they can come to the community.
Right.
At, even at 18, they're grown in the world. They're grown in the world. Okay.
Okay.
So if they are coming that way, then, and they're already married.
Oh, they're already married, yes.
Right.
They're already married, yes.
So we have to look at that. We cannot penalize those that grew up in the community, who grew up with their parents in the community, and say that they have to be 20 before they can get someplace, and they're probably going to already be working as well, coming in because they're less than 20 years old, and you the scenario you gave, they're working but they want to stretch out on their own with their parents, they would still fall up under rule number one because they're with the parents. If that's the case, rule number one needs to say that if the young adult is able to take care of themselves, then they don't have to be 20. Does that make sense? It's a double standard. It's a double standard.
Is saying, a young adult that is less than 20 years old.
Apply rule number one to that.
A young adult that grows up in the community, having 4 years or more in the community, is eligible for their own course at age 20.
At age 20.
These are the ones that grew up in the community.
Right.
What if the parent has a child 19 years old, and they move in the community? And this 18 and 19-year-old thinks that they're capable of maintaining a pod on their own.
Well, what about the one in rule number one that is less than 20 years old?
They grew up in the community. This kid didn't grow up in the community.
Right. There's no that's not a reason for an exception. That's not a reason for an exception because they
number five.
Yeah, because if we use it as a reason for an exception because they didn't grow up in the community, then we have to make the exception for those that grew up in the community.
But then we need to take that last 20 off then or something.
Well, no, because you're going to have people that can come. If you got a couple that comes and they're 19 years old or they're 18 years old and they don't have parents, they're married.
Okay.
You can't say, well, you got to live with somebody else.
Okay.
So you're saying if one comes that's 18, 19 working, that they can't stay by themselves, they have to have a parent?
They have to be a sponsor.
Married couples already know how to handle life situations. Children, most of them and is supposed to have, be able to do that. But an 18-year-old that doesn't have a family and they're still with their parents, even if they come on their own, you know, the responsibility is not sure that it's there or not.
I mean, that was one of the main points I believe you brought up last week, Sister Mary, and the week before, is that they're not mature enough yet. They think they know what they're
right.
doing. But my whole point in this is we cannot penalize people that grow up in the community and say, hey, because you grew up in the community, you can't get a pod till you're 20. And then somebody that didn't grow up in the community comes in and they got their own pod.
Yeah.
Okay, well, can you reword number five, like a young adult less than 20 years old that's married?
That's why we're typing in here the exception so that we can write it for these exceptions.
Okay, well, then working don't need to be there.
Right. But that I started typing, but... as you were saying, if they were working and showed, you know, they're responsible, they want to be out on their own. Okay.
That's what I thought you were talking about.
Yeah. No, they if we do that, or then we break rule number one.
So the only exception is they come in, they're married, or they're in the community and they're married at 18 and under 20.
Or their parents leave the community.
Or if their parents leave the community, they want to stay.
And they want to stay.
Yeah.
And so we can talk about these. If we do what you're asking, because they're working and they want to be on their own, then we actually really penalize those that we break rule number one and we penalize those children that grew up in the community because they grew up in the community.
Okay, so if they're less than 20 and they stay in the community already, and their parents leave, but they don't want to leave.
Then they
can stay and get their own pod.
Right.
Okay.
So we can what I'm typing in here now, we can discuss this. Parents leave the community and the young adult wants to stay being 18 years of age and older. Then we, you know, because anybody less than 18 years of age or 18 years of age coming in on their own, we got to talk about that as well. Or do we allow them to come in? You can say no. I'm not of that mind.
I would say no, because we already talked about the 20 and 18, but they're less than 18 and want to come in. Why would you want to do?
Because they could be on. There are many 18-year-olds in the world on their own.
Of the 18,
we got to look at every situation that comes up that is possible to come up, and then discuss.
Well, you will have to say if they show. I guess responsibility, maybe, but other
well,
than that,
they
stick with 20.
They would have to be vetted just like anybody else.
Like Mary said, all that stuff shouldn't even be applied then.
Well,
you know,
that's why we're putting it up here and we're talking about it.
Because as you said, if you are able to be vetted, if you're vetted and you're able to take care of yourself, then fine.
But if they're 18 years old and less than 20, and they are on their own, we could have a program where they are sponsored by a family. And that family agrees to let them come in and stay with them.
Maybe they stay on another purpose. That work, how they are, how responsible they are before moving in.
We ain't got no. We ain't can't afford no two places. Like.
Well, yeah. We do this time on the downtime with
right. Yeah.
you're not just talking to me. You got to talk loud enough
downtown,
to hear everybody here.
Downtown with the other you know, the other property is planning on having the work site on. Part of the work site, part of the...
You still got to have some place to stay.
Isn't there a place to stay on there? Is there a place to stay?
Yeah, but there's a place to stay there, or there may not be. Okay. So I just want to put up all the situations and we go through them, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Because if we say 18 years old and they come in and they don't have a parent, they're on their own. They believe in the same values. What do we do? So you got to wait till you're 20? I mean, I know that's where you're at.
Mm-hmm.
What about everybody else?
Saying if they're 18 years of age and they're responsible young adults, they're not eligible to get a pod.
By our bylaws right now, they would not be.
Oh, okay.
By the rules and the policies that we have written right now, they would not be.
Oh. What was the reason?
We said 20. Because that's the age of accountability in the scripture.
Okay.
Now, as far as, you know, but we're talking about people coming out of the world.
Okay. In the pod.
Talk up.
If people are in the community that's been there and their age is 20, it should be the same for people outside in the community. Unless, as you said, they are married or if their parents are leaving and they want to stay.
Or
they can take care of themselves. Well, if they're 18 living in the community, all this time they could probably be able to take care of themselves too before the age of 20.
Yeah, I get that. Okay. What I'm looking at is people coming in out of the world. Okay. And if that's why I said we could have a family, there may be a family that's willing to sponsor them. And they can live with me. And I'll be responsible.
Well, living with them, not getting their own pod.
Right, they're not getting their own pod.
Okay, I can see that.
Right.
But it's not under.
I haven't typed it up there yet.
Okay. No. It's just about guarantee. This is getting their. What you're saying in the pod is getting their own pod, right?
Right. But I still want to talk about it at the same time.
Okay.
At the same time, because you got people out there. I know young kids that are on their own. Okay. They're not living at home. They will work. And, you know, maybe they're in trouble, maybe they're not in trouble, but they want to change their life or they want to live by a certain standard. Then I would like to have a mechanism where we are able to take them in. Does that make sense, everyone? Samir, you quiet.
I'm just listening to you.
So I think the sponsor would be the best thing. They must have a sponsor.
Yes, they have to have a sponsor for them, because we're looking at exceptions. And this is not, you know, in this case, this is outside of them getting their own pot.
Right.
They are, so we need to address 18 and 19-year-olds that they may be coming single. They're not coming with their parents. In the world, they're allowed to be on their own. When they join the community, they understand that there's certain things they can't do till they're, 20?
Right.
And if they're already married, then they're already married. We're not going to say, oh, because you're not 20, you can't be married. They're already married, already been sleeping together, may already have children together. So we can't undo that, but we have to be, you know, or we can say, hey, 20 years is the minimum age you can come. Single.
Do they have to show legal documentation that they're married? Or just
yes. They have, no, they got to show legal documentation that they're married.
Well, what if they're saying that they
left together?
They just a marriage to God and they're married.
So what you're saying, if an 18-year-old come in there with their parents, and the parent wants to leave, but the 18-year-old wants to stay,
then
that 18-year-old would have to move in with someone else.
We're saying in this case, since they've already been in the community, we may allow them, if they're responsible enough, to have their own place.
At 18.
Or we may say that they got to have a sponsor in the community as well.
Either or, depending on
circumstances. It depends upon the circumstance. Or we're trying to hash this out. So, and this is called brainstorming. It's not calling let our emotions get a hold of us. It's brainstorming. And so every possible situation that can come up, we need to look at it. Okay, so either say, make it a policy, in order to come into the community, you got to be 20 years old or older to come in on your own, or if you're less than 20 years old, somebody has to sponsor you who's already in the community, and they're going to let you live with them, or if we say if you're married and you come, then... that's a completely different situation. And we don't want to, you know, all of these have their what, plus, but we got to look at them and then say, how would we handle this? Or are we going to say, hey, if you're 18 years old and you're not 20 years old because that's the age of accountability that we're using, then you can't come until you're 20. Or you can't come unless you can find a sponsor, somebody to sponsor you within the community, and you have to live with them. This is what we're here to discuss and hammer out. Okay, and so I don't want it to be where we need a young population as well. And if a young person is mature enough and understand that they don't want to live by the ways of the world and they want to live by the standards of the community, I don't want to, you know, turn them away because that.
Right.
That's what I'm saying about the marriage. The way, not living by the ways of the world, but living by, like, you know, they did a Galilean wedding or whatever wedding they did, but it's not legally to what they're going to go by the marriage.
And if they come in at 18, 19 years old and they're already married as a couple, then I'm going to be asking for a marriage license. Okay? And then if they don't have one, but they've been living as husband and wife, okay, you're going to have to sit down and do a kibbutzah, a contract, and you're going to have to agree to these rules according to the Bible. Okay? And be remarried in the community. Okay? So that's what they would have to do. Because they have to agree to live by the standards of the community. Tell them, hey, you're married, and you're married in the world, and you come here, you're not married. That won't work. All right, Sister Denise, Mary. Drum roll.
I'm listening.
I need for your mouth to work right now. I need to hear what's on your mind.
Okay, the married people, that sounds good. That sounds good. But I'm back with the 18-year-old. So it'll be like Malachi and Esther. Because when she came to the community, he was a young adult, and she had to stay with him.
Esther, I have to go look at. I have to go reread that story, Sister Mary, to find out under what capacity she was living with him. Was she living with him as a daughter, as a servant? How was she living with him?
As a daughter.
Okay, so she lived with him as a daughter. He did not marry her either, did he?
No. He was her uncle.
Right. Okay. That's
the one. That's the one that married the king,
Right.
But he had to get rid of his wife.
Right.
For disobeying him when he asked her to come and let them see his bride.
And then Esther became his wife later.
Absolutely.
Right. Okay, so if it is in this case, it was a family member, right?
Right.
So this could not just be any man in the community. She come and be his daughter. That ain't going to work. All right, I hear you.
I was just giving a scenario,
Right,
I'm
I understand.
I'm just throwing it out there.
Yeah, but that would still be somebody that is sponsoring her.
Right.
Right.
And so, and it's a relative, it's her uncle.
Right.
And so,
because you said the young adult, 18 years old, would need a sponsor.
Right. So yeah, I'm not opposed to that.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I'm not opposed to that because it is
It's
a relative. She's not just coming and finding some man in the community and he's going to be her uncle or she's going to live with him. No. That's why I said I had to remember that story and the nuances of that story. Mordecai was her uncle.
Yeah.
Okay. So, yeah, that still come up under sponsorship.
Okay.
And that would not be a problem. Sister Denise?
I would think they wouldn't even sponsor also.
Okay. So... let's talk about B here. All right, because we're saying that 18 years old, 19, less than 20 has to have a sponsor. Okay? That seems to be where we are headed. Then the parents leave the community and the young adult wants to stay, being 18 years of age or older. Then are we going to require them to have a sponsor also?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. So that would handle both of those situations. 18 years, parents leaving the community, and the young adult wants to stay, being 18 years of age. So we don't even have to say parents leaving the community. Young adult
wants to stay, being 18 years of age.
Yeah, this is responsible no matter what. Parents have to have self-responsibility.
Okay.
Denise. Aaron, how does that read to you? B?
Okay.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Okay. So, so that's automatically assumed that people who come with their parents are sponsoring them.
Right.
Okay. So it doesn't have to be actually said. Okay. Any other exceptions?
No, that's pretty much it, because if you're under 18 years old, you could probably still with your parents.
Mm.
Yeah. At least we would hope.
What about...
Yeah.
People who are single have children what age?
Younger than 18.
If we sponsor, if the parent passes
the married thing, they're like married, but not married. They have the same responsibility as a couple.
No, I'm not hearing what you're saying. If they're single and they're coming,
mm-hmm.
and they got older children.
They have children.
Okay, they have children. If they are
under
20, and they got children.
Uh-huh.
It's another situation we need to talk about it. So our wife is talking about single male or female. He's going to be female, but single male or females that come to the community, they are less than 20 years old, or they want to join the community, they're less than 20 years old, but they got children. A child or more. Let's talk about
in the category of marriage.
They're not married.
They're not married, but the category is why they're married because they have responsibilities.
Because you got children.
They have responsibilities the same as married couples. Those responsibilities. They lived it. They got it. They know how to take care of themselves.
Not necessarily. Whether they're married or not. The thing is that they're married. And so now here is a single man or a single woman coming with a child that is less than 20 years old. Thought. Go ahead.
I would think if they already have a child and they're 18 years old, that shows responsibility right there.
Or
unnecessary.
Right. Or just or unresponsible.
Right.
That they got in that condition to begin with.
Stop it. Okay. So what about we have to determine the young adult 18 years old, they must be responsible, right?
Mm-hmm.
So the married couple, they're going to be sponsored but living on their own, right?
They don't need a sponsor, they're married.
They don't need a sponsor. Okay. We got under contract. They don't need a contract guarantee. Well, they will still need a contract guarantee coming in, but they can live by themselves. They don't have to live with anyone when they come in.
Yeah. Well, right now we got it under contract guarantee.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. These are just right now, we're saying if they're less than 20 years old, they must have a contract guarantee.
But that's basically they have a response to live with, not contract guarantee living on their own. They're not going to be living on their own.
If they're married, they will be.
If they're married, they will be, but
the young adults 18, that's not living on their own. If B is not living on their own.
So they're not, they don't need a contract guarantee.
No, they won't need a contract guarantee because they're being sponsored.
Yeah. They don't need to be. So a person who's 18, 19, have to a child or children, do they need a sponsor to live with, or can they have a contract guarantee? or don't need one?
We need to talk about that. We have to make that decision here. So, everybody understand the situation?
Yes.
Yes.
Thoughts?
I would think if you're 19, 18 years old and you have children already, that would show to me that you've got to be responsible for these kids.
Y'all maybe you are responsible. Because you worked in a school system, you know that ain't true.
Yeah,
baby, back. You forgot already.
I didn't even go there today.
Right.
You've been gone that long, you forgot already?
No.
Right.
Nope. Nope, I haven't. But I'm so glad I'm not there anymore.
I hear you. Okay. So.
Because you know what happened to me, Brother Miles? The lady came and she brought the baby in reefer smoked it herself, knocked me out, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And I'm trying to tell this young woman, I'm like, honey, if you're going to do that after you drop the baby off. I said, because don't you know these people know what marijuana smells like? I said, do you want them in your business? And you know what she told me? I just got to have me a joint early in the morning. I looked at her and walked away because there wasn't nothing else I could say.
Amen.
Unless I'm going to be standing in the hallway arguing with this grown woman. That ain't going to work.
You know, that's like that here, too. The neighborhood we live in, there's a lot of people who have their own businesses and everything. And parents drop their kids off early in the morning, have an alcoholic smell all over them. I mean, it's...
I know.
You know, and they... They're much older than
and those kind of people, Brother Miles, are not going to accept nobody being sponsoring them on anything.
Well, they can't go
because that's going to be confusion.
Yeah, that could be confusion. If they got kids and they're on their own, then they're going to feel like they're grown.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yet and still... Most of the time, if they got kids, then they're probably on public assistance, or they're working on the economy, or they got no income at all.
The married couple under 18, it could be the same way.
Could be, but most of the time, if you ain't got no kids, you ain't got that added burden.
So yeah, that's true, but they may have.
So they're gonna be working someplace in the community. They got to either already be having a job, or there would have to be some place for them to work in the community for us to even vet them and they pass the thing.
What if we just put under 20 altogether, except for the kids, people in the community that they marry and they get their own? Anybody outside has to be 20 no matter what.
No, because there's a lot of young teenagers that need a place to stay, and if they're willing to obey by the rules, why not give them a chance? The world is not giving them a chance. We are not supposed to be like the world.
Right. If they're willing to go along with the community, that's a different thing.
Well,
if they're not willing, ain't nothing you can do to tell them.
Well, that's a no to start with.
Well, he was born by the age of accountability according to scripture. That's what he was born by. So
right, but then we got to also remember that we're living in 2023.
Oh yeah, I see that in a lot of things, but
well, okay, let's talk this out. Situation. We got and we're just gonna talk this out, okay? And I like to be real. Got a young lady or a young man. They have a child. They got custody of that child. They want to join the community. And I don't want to say they have nowhere else to go because they could always be on public assistance or whatever. Whatever the state would do. We still don't want to get, what I'm looking for is here is, okay, let's say they come and they're like that, then we have to have a way of converting them to our way of life. And we have to say that they're, you know, if they come single and they're like that, then we really need to hash this out.
Wouldn't they would already know more about the Israelite laws and something about it? Wouldn't they have to know that?
They would have to know, yeah, before they can come to the community, they have to know something about the community.
Yeah.
So, but them wanting to know something about the community and be willing to abide by the rules of the community, saying something and doing the same.
It's two different things.
Yeah, it's two different things.
Yeah.
So I would want to say here's where my heart is on this. If we allow them to come, and we give them an overview of the community, because they're not, you know, it's just like the law of anything. God didn't expect, he didn't expect the Gentiles to know the law first coming in. And if we're bringing somebody from the world, we have to sort of treat them like a Gentile, meaning that they're not going to be familiar with all the law. Okay.
All right.
So we have to have a set of these will not be tolerated from the very beginning. And if you are not married, then you will not be coming to the community to sleep around.
Right.
We won't be coming in getting high or drunk. There has to be a minimum acceptable standard that they have to agree to.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And then we're already going to say they got to go through what, orientation?
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm.
Okay, so going through orientation gives them the details of everything. So you are single, you got a child, you want to live in the community. Then, you know, even though we might have some people that came that were, we start getting into all these different exceptions that were, let's say we got people who are young couples, they're 18, 19 years old, they're already married. They come in, they're single. But, no, I'm talking about two different groups.
Okay.
I'm talking about, we've already said that if somebody is less than 20 years old, they're married, then you're going to already, young people already see that.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. You have somebody that's petitioning to join the community, and they join the community, they already have children, so that means they're already been, sexually active?
Mm-hmm.
Then if there's other young people around, then that could be a mess in disguise by itself.
Mm-hmm.
But the promise that they're going to have to make is that they will abstain until what?
Mm-hmm.
So they're married.
Married.
So you come in, you work, you contribute to the community. The community will help you, you know, raise your child, yada, yada, yada. And until you find somebody that is suitable for you to marry and y'all want to be married, then you won't be having, you know, you won't be doing things that married people do.
Right.
Okay. They'll have to agree to that.
Will you
absolutely
allow two mothers to live in the
same pod? Yeah, we can. We can allow two mothers with children to live in the same pod. As long as they get along.
Yeah. Because there's some kids we are going to get together. They got a problem. I have an example with my friend that owns Sober Living. And they have homes. And they want to come join her program. Her program is rigorous. From 7:30 to 5, they were in class. When they got home from 7 to 9, they're in class. That's every single day, twice on Saturdays, Sundays. They have to go to church. Then they come back. They have to do another program. And after a while, some of the people there graduated, and some said it was too strict, too much, and they just stuck off and left. Walked out the back door or whatever, or went on an outing and they never got back in the vehicle to go home. And I was wondering about the people that outside the community, you know, coming in, they agree up on everything, right?
Well,
and they feel like, you know, they don't know anything about it, right? Anything about, they say, oh, this community I like to join, I know about, a little about Hebrew, you know, whatever. And they go in the community thinking that, you know, the community, people live there, whatever.
No, that's not how they're going to be coming.
Yeah, but, you know, they don't know anything about it versus the people who've been living there. 18-year-olds, regardless, I don't know.
18,
19, 15,
16, 21, 22, 40. They all
do that.
Yeah. The thing is that... Number one, we're not really trying to rehabilitate people at this time.
Mm-hmm.
And her program was designed to what? Rehabilitate
people?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, we're still teaching the laws. And, oops, I don't like that, you know.
Yeah, well, the thing is, there's a lot of laws people don't like.
I know.
Okay.
And they don't know, and they listen to those laws, you know, they learn those things.
Then they're free to leave.
Yeah.
They're free to leave. We're not trying to hold people hostage.
Mm-hmm.
They got to want to be there. Okay.
They got to want to abide by the rules.
And they got to want to abide by the rules. And if they don't want to do those things, then, you know, sorry, so sorry it didn't work out, but see you.
Right.
Wouldn't want to be
there. That's all you can do.
Right.
That's all you can do.
Well, the reason I said what I said was because I think they should already know.
They can't know everything.
Not know everything, but something about it.
I already said that they would know stuff, and they would be learning, okay?
Yeah.
That you know, you don't know what little bitty thing somebody might hear
mm-hmm.
that they don't agree with.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay, question. How long is orientation?
Don't know yet. Because it is a matter of them getting a pamphlet and reading over that pamphlet to get overviews, and then certain things, you know, they get a list of rules, do's and don'ts.
Uh-huh.
And the orientation is to introduce them to the lifestyle if they're straight up, you know, out of the world.
Right.
Orientation is to introduce them to the lifestyle and what this is about. And those, and most of that should be, a lot of that information is on the website. A lot of that information, if we have somebody, like we're supposed to have a member services officer, then they are supposed to be orientating them to that. We're supposed to have a vetting committee. The vetting committee should be training them and telling them about certain things.
Right.
So they'll get, you know, a lot of information and be able to be pointed to a lot of information before they make their decision. So still, once they make the decision to come in, just like we have newcomers class that we do every Tuesday, we'd have another orientation class that either would be, you know, a straight every day for a month or whatever. And they'd be required to attend that. And it's going over the bylaws of the community and then the policy. And since everything is based on Bible, then they're also getting what, taught the Bible at the same time?
Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm. So that is what is where I'm at now. We don't lower the standard because we might drive somebody away. Or they might learn something that later on they don't like and they don't want to conform with. Okay, you don't want to conform with this now? This is not for you? We're not going to tie them, you know, chop off half of their foot and say, hey, you can't run, you're a slave here now.
No, I was just saying, you know, it's getting go or being.
Okay, as long as they're contributing and doing what they're supposed to do, that's fine. If they later on find out that they don't want to be there, anybody's free to leave. Anybody's free to leave, okay? What we can't be putting up with is them coming there and thinking that they're going to still be doing everything they were doing in the world. Okay? That won't be tolerated. So, you know, you're single, you don't have a man, you come into the community, you still don't have a man. You don't have a woman, you still don't have a woman. Now, you hear, you start learning things, and you start talking to somebody, y'all start becoming interested, then it's still got to stay. You got to honor this thing that until y'all get married, you're not going to be doing anything sexual. That don't mean they can't go out to dinner or go, you know, do things together. But they can't be, start acting like husband and wife. Okay. That, you know, they have to understand that. And so, will be drilled in. You know, I don't care how old they are.
Well, I think orientation will fix that.
Yeah, orientation will fix all that. Yeah. But even before coming in, you know, we'll stay in the rules that we believe in living, if you're single, living a celibate life. You're not openly or hiddenly, hidingly having sex. Okay.
Right.
That just can't be. Now, if you come and you get married, then you live as a married couple, then that's a whole different thing. So that is how that has to be. So if they got children, which is where we were at, if they come and this is a single person with children, I don't really know that we hammered that out. Did we?
No.
I don't recall us doing that. Talk about that. Male or female, it should not make a difference, okay?
Uh-huh.
Same standard. So you have a single male with a child coming, or you have a single female with a child or children coming. Same rules have to apply.
Yeah.
So if they are with children, then, of course, they're going to have their own place. You can't expect somebody with children to move in with somebody else. Or for somebody else that's living there, it'd be like, I'm going to make a scenario here. Sister Mary, you're single. You say, hey, we got this single mom, and she got three kids. They need to move in with you. What is your first thought?
Oh, my goodness.
Will they behave or they behave children? I don't know.
You just blew my head off. Three children. Oh, my goodness.
I mean, you know, because that can be a scenario. You know, and I like to use, that may not even be worst case scenario. But.
Well, I have to think on that one, Brother Miles. That's a good one.
I mean, because for me, if I'm single and I don't want no children, and you're trying to put somebody in here who has children with me, that's the problem right from the start.
Ooh, yeah,
that is the problem. Yeah, that's the problem.
Okay.
Yes, it is.
So it ain't about not wanting to be hospitable or anything like that, but that's a bit much.
It is a bit much.
So I would say, then we would need to look at providing them their own place.
Right.
Because they have children. Now, that doesn't mean that two single moms can't live in the same pod. And probably, we probably wouldn't even have it that way, because if it's a single mom or dad that have a child, and the father's going to his own bedroom and the child's going to want theirs. Or that's where it should be at least.
Right.
Okay, so they would have their own pod, their own place to live. If it is, and so yeah, I don't see even under this circumstance how we could actually put two single mothers together. We'd have to have a big pod, a pod that has more than have to have at least four bedrooms.
At least
four bedrooms. To put up, here's a single mother with a child and here's another single mother with a child, not children. Or if they're the same age, the same sex, or they're young enough, that could happen. But eventually, they would be looking for their own pod to live in.
Right.
So might as well start that way.
Right.
Okay, so if we have that, then they would just have to have their own space. And so we would definitely have to vet them, because if people come up under those circumstances different ways. So let's say here's two scenarios. Here's this young girl, she got married at 18. And she got two or three kids and she's 20. If they come and they're 18 years old and they got three kids, there's a problem already.
Right. Yeah.
And that is a whole different scenario in whether we want to get involved with that or not. Say that they were married and they're now divorced, or the man died or whatever. They weren't just running around, sleeping around, having kids. Because that does go on a lot today.
Yeah.
Okay, and so that is different. So we would have to investigate the background, find out how did you get into this situation? Were you taken captive? So let me explain the difference between being taken captive and being sent into captivity. Scenario I gave you, the young lady or the young man was married, something happened to their spouse, they died, okay? And so they weren't looking to be single, but they find themselves being single because the person died or they just left. Then I call that being taken captive. Okay. But if they were sleeping around and they just be, they're just dropping babies, and they got a baby by, I know a situation now where the young lady has maybe four kids or five kids by different men.
Yeah, I do too.
Then that person, they actually have been sent into captivity. And they have not learned their lesson. And so whatever they're going through it to teach them a lesson. You can get involved with that, and next thing you know, she's pregnant again. Because that's what she's doing. And that's what she knows to do. So she won't change her way.
Can't help her.
Right. But we have to investigate that to know that. That, there are, we let a young lady move in with us, and she had a sob story. But once you got to know her and know her story, she's just a mess. And, the way she solved her problems were on her back. So you gotta really investigate. And you can't make somebody not do something that they want to do.
Right.
So I would say the vetting team would really have to really question these people hard. They might think, well, hey, you too much of my business. No, you come in into a community where your behavior is suspect.
Right.
And just because you want to move in the community, maybe you might think it's, you know, it's you're going to have help and it's this, that, and the other, but that's not really your true motivation. Your true motivation is, you know, it's not that you want to live for the Most High and that you want to turn your life around, but it sounds like it's someplace where you can moot or something like that. So, you know, we have to, so, you know, the young man or the young woman coming in, they would have to agree to those standards.
Absolutely.
Won't say we won't take them, but they have to be oriented, and then they have to agree.
Oh, I was just, yeah, I was just wondering, does it go in the same section as a married couple with them not having to have a guarantee or have to have a guarantee?
I would say, depending upon their financial situation, that's what the guarantor is for, and their work ethic, then they may or may not need a guarantor. But the married couple may or may not need a guarantor. So that has to be done by the vetting committee. It's one of those questions that we have to put on the vetting form, those people who are checking people out. Okay, we got a young married couple here. This is their ages, whether they got children or not. How do they make their income now? Because whatever they're making, that you know, they still got to be able to bring what, an income? And then if they lose their job, well, we got to have a job in the community for them. So these are all what, hard decisions. They really are. But once we set it, then they got to be. And then there's always what, exceptions to the exceptions.
Mm-hmm.
But there's a committee for that. So the vetting committee or the membership committee, they'd have to take, you know, and then they'd have to bring it, because this is a community, all of this stuff still has to be brought to who?
To the
community.
Board.
No, to the community.
Oh, my bad.
Because it's a co-op setting here, the guidelines, but everything is still voted on by the community.
Because it has to be a really solid exceptions, because community can always say, well, my suspect they wasn't able to because, you know, and even though the situation may be similar, but not quite the same.
Right. I mean, you have to take it on a case-by-case basis. Okay. And that's why I said when we get into exceptions, then we really have to think about that, because somebody would come up and say, well, I had that same thing, and y'all didn't tell me that.
Yeah. So you probably
want to
put case by case, based on case by case.
Yeah, we'll put that in there. Right now, we're just brainstorming. So we got. Let me put this in here. And this is by no means what, set in stone yet.
Right.
Okay, that's another example. Young single parents, male or female, will be assigned a foster. Because they're what? Single parents.
Right.
as when they are adults, like our age, you know, as we are now.
Huh? Say that again?
Well,
who the heck gonna come in a child our age? because last week when we started this, this is where we left off at, and we were pretty much burnt out then.
Pretty much.
And we've had
out a few. With other folks too.
Right. So I'll say that we'll table this five again until the next meeting. You know, with the changes that we have, we won't make a vote on it.
Okay, okay.
And we'll see if we come up with anything else that may fit into the situation. We probably move some of these from under here, like married people, if they come, if they show, if they're married and they're showing that they can, that, you know, they can, they're responsible, then we probably won't require them to have, what, a guarantor. If,
okay.
If they are single parents and they show that they don't, you know, that they're responsible, yada, 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 then we probably won't require them to have, if they're single parents, we probably won't have them to have, what, a guarantor. But the 18-year-old and 18 to 20-year-old, we probably will require them to have it.
That'd be the only ones who are in the community, right?
No, these are 18 to 20-year-olds that would come in that need somebody to sponsor. To 20-year-olds in the community still fall up under the 20-year-old rule unless they get married.
Hold up to that one about
One.
Okay.
Yeah. Young adults that grow up in the community, mm-hmm. having 4 more years experience in the community are eligible for their own pod. So they grew up in the community. We're saying the minimum age really is 20 years old.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. At age 20, and must complete the newcomer's orientation training before being assigned quarters or a pod. So that is the standard. However, you're still going to have exceptions. Okay. So if they grew up in the community, we would really hope, you know, the goal is to not have any, what, single mothers that grew up in the community,
mm-hmm.
that they got married before they had children, or in the males too. Okay. That's the goal. That's the standard.
Yeah.
Now they're single. They want to be out on their own. We're saying 20 years old.
Yeah. But
okay.
We allow 18-year-olds to come in with guarantees, and they get it for 4 more years.
Because we're letting them come in at 18, with a sponsor,
mm-hmm.
okay? So they would have to have a sponsor, somebody going to live with. Or if they are married,
mm-hmm.
then they've already been through all that, okay? And so we can't say, oh, you're 18, man and woman, and y'all married.
Mm-hmm.
Y'all got to live single now if you want to be part of the community. No, that doesn't work. So we can say no, you know, and as long as they're willing to do what they're supposed to do, then there's no reason to be turning them away. Now, if they're 18 years old and they don't have any children and they're not married, then we want them to be sponsored by somebody in the community. That's what we said so far. Okay. So they're not being able to do anything that somebody, another child in the community can't do.
Right.
You're single. You're not living in your parents' house. You're 18 to 20. You got to be sponsored. Now we got the different set of groups. They are less than 20, but they're single. What? Parents. They already got children. So then, are you responsible? How are your financials? How is your morals? Are you willing to live by these rules?
My bad. Adult world.
You may not be, and you know, so that's the call, what, Because what I really want to do is make space for the spirit to talk to us and tell us about things and what to do and how to move. And also, but we also have to be subjective and in a way, kind of present. If we know that they're all worldly, they come and they just want to smoke pot and party and do that kind of stuff, this ain't for you.
Right.
If they just want a place to hide, that'll show up too. Okay. That they got to understand that the committee is all about this, and anything outside of that won't be tolerated. It just will not be tolerated. So when you say one offense, this is the issue. Any other offense, you're gone. Okay, so I'll make a motion that we table 12.01.5 again for this week, that we sleep on it. I'm going to let me save this.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So that has our changes in it. This is what we'll start at on next week. It has our most current changes in it, or most current, I will say, you know, updates. And then we will decide whether we move Mary from under the what contractual that must have a co-sponsor. A guarantor. Single male or female, if they are responsible, whether they have to have a contract guarantor. And as Sister Mary said, after we think on this a little bit more, we may not even need, what, five?
Right.
We may not need it. So that's why we're not going to make a decision now. Okay. We may just have to put it, these are the exceptions to this rule. Okay, that being said, I make a motion that we adjourn this meeting. Do I have a second?
A second.
All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Now voting.
Aye.
Anyone opposed? Ayes have it. This meeting is officially adjourned. We will meet again next Thursday. We will pick it up where we left off at. May the Most High bless you. May he keep you safe from all hurt and harm, seen and unseen. And until we meet again, remember I love you. I really do. I cannot love you like the Most High loves you. Fear Yah and keep his commandments.
Amen.
So remember tomorrow is Sabbath. And
yay.
Amen. You know, I look forward to it every week. Tomorrow is Sabbath. And don't know what the lesson is going to be about. I have to look and see what I did last Sabbath to see if there's a second, if there is a continuance to that. Okay, so I'm not going to mix the newcomers with this. So newcomers, subjects as newcomers. So I'll see what the Most I said concerning the mess for tomorrow. Let me see what I did. Oh, remember new moon for this month is the 17th.
Yes, and I will be in Minnesota to the new moon with Sister Denise.
All right, amen. Amen. Y'all be having collard greens and turkey wings together.
don't get the hot water cornbread.
I know.
Right.
So let's see here. Last. To the law and the testimony. I think I finished that up to the law and the testimony. I have to look and see if I finish that. If I finish that, then we will move on to something else, whatever Yah says. If I haven't finished that, then I'll finish it up. Yeah. And I need to go, I'm going to go on Hebrew Connect because I know nobody answered my question because I didn't see any response to it. One of the things that I have found, and I know I'm going to have to deal with this, in the Word, that people want to make the Word, the world is taking the Word and making it what they want to make.
Yeah.
That's what they're doing. And deciding what laws they want to enforce and which laws they don't want to enforce.
Yep.
Not what God says, but what they don't want to do. Or what they want to embrace, that's what they're embracing. And anything else they don't want to embrace.
Nothing you can do about it, Brother Miles.
I know. It's not, you know, but it's one of those things where depending upon how I can present it, then it won't be for us, but it'll be for other people that there are people that come and download lessons, and they may not, you know, they may not call in. Or
you know what, Brother Miles?
What's that?
A question was brought to me about the people in the flood. They said that has the people in the flood been judged yet, and I told them no.
Correct.
And they will, you know, and then that come to River Maroc. So I took them to Revelation 20 and 12. I said, read this for yourself. Now, if you're reading this, it's not nothing I said. Like I told them, I didn't put a period in there or semicolon or nothing. It's
Amen.
Not my right.
Amen.
But you still want to come to me and tell me that's not what it's saying. You read it. So I just say, you know what? The Father said he's going to put blinders on people. So I say, get on with your blinders.
Amen. Well, you know, most people don't read enough scripture to even know. They just come with their personal opinion or what they feel. So if you show them in scripture, a lot of times they still won't believe it because it goes against what they personally believe.
Right.
But they personally think. But all you got, you know, your job, you did your job. You showed them in the scripture.
I did.
That's all you can do.
I did.
You know, and then you can't make them believe it. You can't, you know, because, as I said, the Most High to teach you that lesson from. I can't make them see what I don't want them to see.
You got to let them go.
Right.
But you know what I say, Brother Miles?
What's that?
If I continue to try to tell you and try to convince you what the Word said, and he's already told me that it's not for everybody.
Right.
Everybody's not going to get it. Everybody's not going to understand it. Shut up. So now I know how to shut up.
Amen. I mean, and that's all we can do.
Right, because if I keep talking, I'm going to get what he said.
Right.
And I'm not going to do that.
Amen. Yeah, it's not our job to convince anybody of anything.
Uh-huh.
He said he's the one that gives understanding.
That's right.
Your job is just to simply tell him.
And you know something else? It's not even my job to try to figure out why you don't understand.
Right, no. It's just to show them what thus saith the Word of the Most High.
Uh-huh.
That's all you can do.
Uh-huh.
Because Messiah said, let's do this, and then we'll get on.
Uh-huh. Like they don't believe it's the lake of fire. All they got to do is read Isaiah 30:33. Right there.
Yeah, I don't know how they could not believe in the lake of fire.
They don't.
Except for if they just don't read.
They think everybody's going to heaven. And ain't nobody going up there. He said, I'm going to meet you in the air. He didn't say, I'm going to meet you in heaven.
Right.
Took me a minute to let him roll on with it. So now I can let them roll on with
you. You know, that can be one of the hardest things to do, but it's also one of the things that we absolutely must do.
Yes, right.
Because, you know, like I said,
I am not going against the Word of the Father on no level with nobody.
Amen.
And I am not going in no late because of no fact.
Well, let's just do this. Where did my page go? And then we will wrap this up. I hear y'all, but I can't find y'all. There y'all are. I'm going to stop. I'm going to start sharing. I'm going to share my Bible. Let's just look at a couple of things real quick. Because this is where I stand at on it.
Yeah.
All right, so I'm sharing now, so you should be able to pick up my screen.
Yes.
And you have a sister Denise? Sister Denise, please?
I don't know. You're on mute, sister Denise.
Well, she's like she's still there.
Yeah.
Okay, are you able to see the screen?
You might be on mute.
Yeah. Okay. Well, it looks like she's talking, but ain't nothing coming across. I can see her mic going green like she's talking. So, Denise, you might need to unmute yourself. All right, but real quick, if you can hear it, then that's fine. Matthew chapter 2, verse 5. Now, this is Herod when the wise men came, okay, and they wanted to know, he wanted to know, hey, is there a prophecy about a king being born? And they said unto him, in Bethlehem, Judea, for thus it is written by who? The prophet.
The prophet.
Okay, so this is how they could tell everything because they went by prophecy. It is written, okay, by the prophet. That's what the prophets are for. Let's go to Matthew chapter 4, starting verse 1. You were led up by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. And when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, he was afterwards a hunger. And when the tempter came to him, he said, if thou be the son of Elohim, command these stones to be made bread. But he answered and said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of Elohim. All right, somebody got a wolf.
That was a dog, and I don't know why y'all hear the dog and y'all want to hear me.
Yeah, we can hear the dog loud and clear.
Now you can hear.
Yeah, we can hear you now.
Can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay.
That wasn't you, right?
When it come on, it bark like a dog.
You got when they come on, when it come on, it barks like a dog.
Yep. The Bluetooth.
Oh, the blue. Oh, wow. All right. Matthew chapter 4, verse 5. Then the devil taketh him up into the holy city and setteth him down on a pinnacle of the temple. And he said unto him, if thou be the son of Elohim, cast thyself down. For it is written. Now the devil's using what? What is written?
Right.
He shall give his angels charge concerning you. In their hands they shall bear thee up, lest at any time thou dash thy foot against the stone. And Yeshua said unto him, it is written again, thou shalt not tempt Yah thy Elohim. Again the devil taketh him up into a high place, mountain, and shows him all the kingdoms of the world and the glory of them, and saith unto him, all these things will I give you if you will fall down and worship me. Thus saith Yeshua unto him, get thee hence, Satan, for it is written, of Yah thy Elohim, and him only shalt thou serve. Then the devil leaves him. When he quoted scripture, right?
Uh-huh.
It is written. It is written. It is written. That's what we have to go by.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, not that God can't talk to us outside of the Bible, but when we're talking scripture and what God says he wants us to know and what he wants us to do, Messiah said it was written. The devil even said it was written. That's what you got to go by. That's what Yah said. He had it written. And so the wise men, Herod, hey, is there a prophecy saying that there's going to be a king to be born? Yes, it's written of Bethlehem. So we got to go by it is written. And all you got to do is show them what?
What's written.
What's written.
What is written.
You don't have to give them the understanding. If, you know, if you feel like you want to try to give them the understanding, you can, but you don't have to. All you got to do is show them what's written.
Mm-hmm.
That's the bottom line. Because anything outside of that, you can't prove. Right, you can't prove it either.
Mm-mm.
And they'll say, well, that's what you think. That's what you say. Well, you don't have anything to fall back on.
Mm.
Okay. And so you can say God said, but really, God may have told you that, but he didn't tell this person that.
Right.
And so they can't live in that, and most people won't. Okay. So you have to be able to, you have to know the scriptures and go by what is written. All right, with that being said, see you guys tomorrow, and we'll see what Yah says. I'll listen to the last part of my lesson to see if I need to add to it. I don't need to add to it, then it'll give me something else to teach. All right. So go back to the Blog Talk Radio. And shalom, everybody. Peace and blessings to you on this evening, and we'll see you guys tomorrow.
Okay.
Shalom.
Shalom. Shalom.
Forever.
Shalom, brother and sister Miles.
Shalom.
Shalom, my sister. Be a blessing to you.
Amen.
Shalom.
See you guys tomorrow.
Okie doke.
All right.